Okay, and next up, Matthew Borgatti.
Howdy. All right. Let me just get my notes up here. Boom.
Everybody's coming in under. A round of applause for all the presenters who came in under time. You haven't had to reduce one of them. Okay, Matt.
All right. So I'm just going to point to you and advance the slide. So this is Robert Sapolsky. He has mad stats in neurobiology. He also is a professional baboon molester. Now, I don't mean that in an insulting way. He actually tranquilizes baboons as part of his job. He spends half of the year in the savannah tranquilizing baboons, and the other half of his year teaching at Stanford. So what ends up happening with this is he studies the baboons' social behavior. They have stressful lives. They fight with each other. Baboons will rip each other apart for the chance to dominate the other baboon and mate with all the ladies. It's a very competitive, stressful life for them, and they suffer from the same effects of long-term depression and long-term stress-related disease like heart attacks and hypertension as we do. Which is weird because things like giraffes and zebras don't. Giraffes and zebras only have two modes, which are off and run for your life. So they don't tend to deal with long-term stress because as soon as a stressor is gone, as soon as they can't see a lion, can't smell another angry zebra, they don't have to worry about stuff. So one of the interesting things is depression is a stress-related disease.
Four minutes left.
Excellent. Lots of similar symptoms. Next slide. So I'd like to talk about depression and stress-related disease. This is Sapolsky with one of his friends. We have complex brains and complex lives, a little like baboons. And so we have this ability to spook ourselves, to give ourselves stress, to give ourselves the things that actually activate all of these interesting mechanisms inside of our brains that cause more stress. So if you think about yourself and your life and the fact that you're going to be put inside of a box one day and buried in the ground and you're going to, that heart's going to stop and you're going to decompose and the room went quiet and that stresses you out. It's a thing that stresses you out that doesn't have any physical characteristics. It's not that another angry, next slide, human is coming up to you and trying to savage you. It's your own brain giving you this stress. And so one of the interesting things about neurobiology and what it suggests for depression is it's partially, next slide, that there are structures inside of you that cause you to release these stressful chemicals called glucocorticoids. That's cortisol is one of the primary, next slide, ones in the human biology. What it does is you have these neurons. These neurons talk to each other across synapses, so it goes that one neuron is talking to the other ones. It has a mouth, more or less, and ears, more or less. And across that gap, there's this place where chemicals flow. That's the synapse. And when you have stressors, like the cortisol, starts squirting out of your brain, and it does a lot of good things, next slide, for you immediately. So what ends up happening is immediately, instantaneously, you get faster at running, and you get stressed out, and you remember things slightly better. You can picture like times when you are about to like take a test or something like that, and there's this period where you're hyperproductive because the stress is making you better. And then after 8 hours of this stress, you are a blob of meaningless nothing that you can't write and you can't think and you can't remember stuff and you can't remember what you were reading an hour ago. And part of this is because initially, initially what's happening is that all of these dendritic spines, the things that are receptive to this glucocorticoid stuff, are really, really excited. And then they start dying. And then the more this goes on, you start getting neurotoxicity. You start getting these patterns that are etched in your brain that actually start making you more and more sensitive to cortisol, more and more sensitive to these repetitive thoughts that stress you out, and you get stressed and stressed and stressed and stressed, and your hippocampus starts shrinking. Next. And so what's interesting about this is there are many, many repetitive cycles in depression. There are many repetitive cycles in stress that cause themselves to repeat themselves that you can't get out of. And many of the therapies on this, if I can get extra time, I will talk about two of the therapies. All right. So two of the therapies are electroconvulsive therapies and MAOIs, and I will describe them both really quickly. So electroconvulsive therapy, the thing where you have at the end of Cuckoo's Nest, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, where the guy is being shocked and his brain is, I think that's how it ends. I've never seen the movie. So the electroconvulsive therapy is meant to try and restructure how your synapses work with each other to try and
45 seconds?
Yes, to try and scramble what you're doing with your brain, to essentially try to get you out of these habits of thought and out of these habits of stimulators causing this auto-stimulation feedback loop where you are stressed out and you make more cortisol and you stress yourself out and you make more cortisol. So that sort of kind of works.
30 seconds?
On the other side, you have MAOIs, which are monoamine oxidase inhibitors, which try to keep serotonin inside of your brain longer, as in there's a thing that rips apart serotonin. And if you put an MAOI in the thing that rips apart serotonin, doesn't exist anymore. So you could totally get over depression if magic happened and your brain worked even better.
Or
I'm done!